The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley. As we move into a Friday, it's the bonus show. Gary, how are you?
Well, I'm deeply into this article right now from Australia.
Yeah. Which article is that?
Radio presenters and journalists are among the top jobs for psychopaths.
Gary McNamara, Eric Harley.
I don't think there's any surprise there. That's like saying, in order to lose weight, you need to eat less and exercise more. I mean, it's a given, right?
But it says here, the first sentence is, if you work in radio, you are more likely to be subject to psychopathic behavior from your coworkers. So does it mean we're not the psychopaths, but our coworkers are?
Well, see, there's the thing.
Is it our support staff?
Since I've never encountered that, then it must be me. That's like the old joke. They say there's one weirdo on every plane, but I never see him. Yeah, that's.
But then it says there's a new book out, apparently.
From
Oxford University. The book details the jobs that are most likely to attract psychopaths, with journalists and media presenters taking second and third spots on the list, respectively. The number one job, CEOs.
Really? Now, they're talking about in the workplace, right? Not like, you're on television and then a psychopath comes after you or something, a stalker or something like that.
It's no, they're
coworkers.
Well, coworkers and yourself, too, apparently.
Yeah, okay. So if you're in that profession at all, you're a psychopath.
Yeah.
We told you. But we know it's mostly in television, though. That's where all the weirdos are.
And just so people know it, a psychopath, a sociopath is somebody who doesn't have any feelings. Mm-hmm. And that's, don't mistake that. Mm-hmm. That's not what we are. We're simply unstable.
You think?
We have a chronic mental disorder of abnormal or violent social behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go.
There's a few sociopaths as well.
Oh, in this business?
Shh, they're in the next room. It's okay. They don't listen to the show.
I got a great kick out of that one. I saw that story yesterday, which, of course, I had a post on my personal Facebook page, and all the radio people got aboard and said, that makes sense.
Is it? And it's based on, like, actual professionals making the diagnoses, right? That they're.
I don't know. It doesn't say.
If we're armchairing this, then let's calm down.
Yeah, we can
throw the word psychopath around all day long. There's some crazy people in radio.
I don't take it seriously. I mean, yeah. What is more likely? Is it more likely that it's 0.00001% if you choose this profession, and if you don't choose the profession, it's 0.00005 percent of the people that do it. Mm-hmm. Again, I found the headline entertaining. That was about it. I really know. I don't think many people take it serious.
Right. But, seriously. Well, but what it reeks of is that that armchair doctoring that was going on, analysis of the current president. Remember that? Definitely has these. Yeah, sorry. Even if you're a doctor, you haven't examined this patient. So how about you hold off on that? But I would concur, though. Having said that,
anecdotally.
Yes, anecdotally, I would have to conduct further studies and more research.
Well, what a week it's been. I mean, it's been an unbelievable week of news, and it doesn't stop for Friday.
No, it doesn't.
The left goes nuts over the NFL anthem policy.
Uh-huh.
I saw Steve Kerr, the NBA coach, talking about, this shows a problem, fake patriotism. Hey, idiot, you've got the same rule in the NBA.
Right. and have had for a while.
Right? It's just like, what?
Yeah, well, but here's the thing. Everybody brings that up. You know, everybody talks about the fake and false patriotism. It's just to promote military recruiting, and it was a deal between the NFL and the military and everything else. Well, but do people stand up? I'm talking about the people in the stands. Do they stand up? And a number of the players, do they stand up because they want to promote recruiting?
No.
No, they don't. They stand up out of respect. They stand up. They may not have, they themselves may not have the greatest respect for the country, but there are some people that have respect for others who have respect. And they have respect for people who have served. Why is that false patriotism? The answer is, that's
how they view it. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's not how we view things. It's how the left views things.
Yeah.
And and for example, I mentioned one time, you know, I was at a hockey game one time against one of the Russian Army teams. Mm-hmm. And they played the American national anthem.
These are your Russian connections?
Yes, my Russian connections. They played this is years ago, decades ago.
So you've been colluding with Russians for years.
For decades, yes.
I'm sorry. I went into Robert Mueller mode. So you admit you've been connected with Russians for decades.
Well, yeah, but I was an informant. Yes. I wasn't a spy. I was an informant.
You weren't a spy.
I was spying, but
spy?
I was spying, but I wasn't a spy. I was an informant who was spying, not a spy that was spying.
It's so funny the way that they're answering those questions.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that here in just a little bit. But they played the American national anthem, the Canadian national anthem, and the Soviet, because it was still the Soviet Union. They played the Soviet national anthem, and the entire arena stood for all of the national anthems. Mm. Because you stood for the national anthems did not mean that everybody in that arena, 20,000 people or whatever, was showing any type of fake or real patriotism for the Soviets.
Now, where was this? Was this in Buffalo?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there could have been some communists, American communists, in the
you know, it is one of the most liberal cities, so it is, you know, you got a great point there. It might have been all communists.
It could have been.
It was me. I was afraid to sit down because I might attack me.
Exactly. Yeah.
I get that. Somebody's going to hear that and go, McNamara's saying people of Buffalo are communists.
In that case, it was respect for the players.
It's,
you know?
Yeah, it's respect for... It's respect for the player. No, it's not even respect. Mm. It's courtesy.
Well, yeah, same thing, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Courtesy,
I mean,
respect.
You're showing the because it's look. You can say I feel for you having to live in a. How many times have we heard the stories? In fact, remember when Obama was in office? one of the Russian publications. Don't go that direction. We've already been there, basically telling us quit heading more and more socialists, becoming more and more socialists, because we've already been there.
Pravda did that, yeah.
Yeah, it was Pravda.
It was Pravda. Like 7, 8, 9 years ago,
I was going to say
it was right after
in the first year of Obama.
I wonder, has Obama spoken at all on the... I'm waiting for Obama to speak on the whole NFL thing, and you know why?
Hmm.
Because he can't speak. Well, he will, but I'm not saying he would. But remember, in it was September and October of 2007, because it was still the primaries going on, and he would not wear a flag pin. Obama would not wear people forget about this. He would not wear an American flag pin. And they asked him, and he said because he views it as a symbol of false patriotism. So he was not going to wear a flag pin.
Hmm.
All of a sudden, he was wearing a flag pin. Never got the answer why. We know the answer why.
Yeah.
It's as if you are, that you're being courted by General Motors to be their CEO. And there's a big thing where, hey, this guy's going to come in, he's going to tour the plant and everything else, and he comes in to he or she, I should not be gender specific in a CEO role because either way, they're all psychopaths. But
except for the CEOs of our companies.
Of our companies. Yes, exactly.
Clearly, that is not the case with our company.
Right. There's always the exception to the rule. And so you're being courted, and everybody knows you're being courted to be the new CEO of General Motors. And you come in there, and the public relations department gives you a hat and a shirt to wear. Mm-hmm. As you're going around saying General Motors, and you refuse to wear it because you don't want it to be a symbol of false corporate loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that doesn't cut it.
Yeah.
And so that's somebody finally got to him and said, you cannot run for the president of the United States and not wear a flag pin.
Yeah, you have to wear the pin. That's the way it works.
You've got to wear the ribbon.
Yes. What? You don't like the ribbon?
You don't like the ribbon?
That's the whole point is you're running for president
for that
country. See, that's that flag. That's what that represents. The country where you're trying. What's more falser?
Well,
the politics of running for president or what the flag actually represents?
Well, my whole point would be Obama can't say anything about it because he apparently put his own beliefs to the back burner, and he didn't have to.
No.
Nobody was going to, he had to in a way. Nobody was going to fire him, except maybe the primary voters when they saw Hillary was wearing the flag pin, but who knows? He might have won by a greater margin if he wasn't wearing a flag pin, but they believed that it would damage him overall in his run for the presidency, and so his campaign advisors convinced him that you need to wear the flag pin.
Mm-hmm.
So he can't say anything about the NFL.
Yeah. You know, I saw Leno on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. And he was wearing a suit jacket. He's wearing a flag pin. He's wearing a flag pin. I mean, he'd retired from his late night talk show. You know, still, I think he's still doing the CNBC thing. But, you know, he wore the flag pin. You know, when you call that false patriotism, what you do is you totally dismiss the countless people who have served, who are serving now, and the families of those who serve. That's what you're doing. You're dismissing everything that they go through in order to serve, and those families, what they go through in support of their family members who serve. You're just throwing that out the window saying, with a big, big, fat, broad brush that you don't really think this way. You're too stupid. It's kind of like when John Kerry was talking about people that, you know, join the military. They just do it, you know, because they're not qualified to do anything else.
And, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's how they think, you know, the Bloomberg comment this week on taxing poor people, John Kerry, you know, saying things like that. I'm very happy when they do that because one of the things that you and I have always talked about is you want to get people understand our base mindset because we want to promote what our base mindset is, what drives us to when we talk about the everyday things, you know, but what's our base mindset? What do we think? What do we want? What kind of a society do we wish to live in? How do we think of, you know, other people? How do we think of the other side? We tell people what's deep in our soul and our mind. You know more about Eric and myself than you do any president of the United States, getting down to their base mindset. And so when you have a John Kerry, you have a Michael Bloomberg this week talking about, no, we should be taxing people more because then we can control their bad behavior. It's good to know that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were angry about that this week when Bloomberg said that. We promoted it and said, no, we're happy he did it because the left is always trying to hide what they believe. Now, they've come out of the closet more since 2006, as you and I have said. They felt emboldened to say this is what we really believe, and it sort of backfired on them. But again, Bloomberg not running for office, so he could say it, and Kerry just says stupid things whether he's in office or not. It doesn't matter.
ISIS, they don't provide health care.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about that coming up here in a little bit. Comey says Spygate made up. Democrats say there, now there was no spy. Are we to the point that all that matters is what the definition of spy is? Because nobody is denying there was an informant who was spying. They're just saying it wasn't a spy.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now, if
you wonder. Well, because to admit that it was a spy, remember, this thing isn't over. It's just beginning. They can't openly admit that they had a spy there. Oh, it was an informant. Uh-huh, sure it was. Okay.
New poll on calling MS-13 animals. Another college feeling the consequences of the insanity that went on there. Women now accuse Morgan Freeman of inappropriate behavior.
Wow. It reaches Morgan Freeman level?
Yep. By the way, Harvey Weinstein, according to reports, will be arrested this morning for rape, for rape charges.
Right.
Rachel Dolezal hit with felony theft charges, which brings up the question. If Rachel says she does not identify with someone being charged with a felony, do they have to drop the charges?
Or as she says to the judge, she identifies as somebody who needed welfare assistance, then, because it's based on welfare fraud.
Even if she wasn't recognized.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she identified as somebody who needed it. Oh, that's a great. I like that one.
Right.
I like that one even better.
Mm.
North Korea was a no-show for the pre-planning meeting, and the shooter that was shot by an armed civilian. That and more coming up, plus your calls and comments. If you'd like to get in, lines are open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here. A lot of social media comments today, and in the media in general on North Korea. You and I said from the very, very beginning on this, don't get your hopes up for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it was based on history. And even though the president was out there sounding very, very optimistic, we brought you the news articles that said, you know, that's for show in order to see if they can get him to the table. But inside the White House, they actually never had great hopes that, you know, that they were under no delusion that Kim Jong-un was going to come to the table and get rid of all of his nukes and basically not want anything in return, or just very little like for trade. And we brought that different analysis to you as this went on, because you had a lot of people, and I'm talking about Trump supporters, that really were out there promoting it. And we said, whoa, 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 whoa. Temper that enthusiasm. This is North Korea.
We have said throughout this, it would be a huge deal just to get those two at the table. If the U.S. and North Korea got to a table, that in and of itself would be huge.
Right. And even if they'd gotten to the table, I didn't expect, I wasn't really optimistic that anything was going to happen anyway. Why? Based on the history of that family in power of North Korea.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt.
And the manipulation that they believe they can do on the Western world.
For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
An active storm in the Gulf of Mexico is going to produce some heavy showers for Florida. Most likely as we get into Sunday, we'll see the center of this system over central Florida and then make its way up the East Coast for the remainder of the weekend, and that's the three-day weekend, including Memorial Day. By Tuesday, we'll see the system most likely off the coast of New York. So, for the next few days, expect showers in the south, with Florida expecting heavy showers and most of the East Coast under the threat of rain chances. The best of the three-day weekend for East Coast beaches would be Saturday, and the best bet would be from North Carolina through New England for clear skies. The Midwest and Northeast are clear today. You'll need the sunglasses if you're traveling I-10 from L.A. through most of Texas. The nation's interior is clear on the West Coast. Heavy rain for Northern California and Central Oregon wraps up today. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Bonus Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So what I find just hilarious is what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. about was the FBI spying on the Trump campaign? You had Democrats come out of that meeting yesterday and say there was no evidence of a spy. You have the fact checking. I'm reading this here. The fact checking on James Clapper. Chris Saliza here. The point. James Clapper did not say what Donald Trump keeps saying that he said. Let me get here. Where is it? Oh, wait a minute. I just got it. On the whole spy thing here. Sorry, here it is. Okay, I've got the wrong. This is the wrong article here. Mm. I had another article here that. I'm sorry, because it wasn't the Chrysalis. It was the NPR that I was looking at. Fact check: No, Clapper has not admitted that there was spying on the Trump campaign. and here it is. Is there any evidence that any spies were planted in the Trump campaign? Here's where Clapper comes in. What he said in several interviews this week is that there are strictures on the way the FBI can use a confidential informant. Other former national security officials tell NPR that sending an intermediary like Halper is a less aggressive way of the FBI to learn from the subjects of an investigation. That way, the Bureau doesn't have to send special agents themselves who might flash their badges and let people involved know that the FBI was interested. So nobody is denying that Stephon Halper was spying on the Trump campaign, because that's what he was doing. Mm-hmm. You can call him whatever you want. You can call him an informant. You can call him an intermediary. Nobody is denying that Stephon Halper. Nobody.
You could call him a temporarily displaced agent.
Exactly. And so that's where we, just so everybody knows, that's where we are, because people see the headlines. No, see, there was no spy. Well, no, because they decided they're not going to call him a spy.
Right.
But nobody is denying, as you notice, nobody's denying. Nobody has said, no, Stephon Halper was not, spying on the, well, they may say he wasn't spying. He was gathering information from the Trump campaign. Mm-hmm. He was protecting the Trump campaign from the Russians. He was spying!
What if it was a Russian that had infiltrated the campaign? Would they be spying? Did the Soviets back in the day, did they have people that were just gathering information, or were they spies?
Well, no, since they worked for the intelligence organization, they, you know, but remember, mm-hmm. it's not whether they were spies or not, because they're, what the left is trying to say is, those are official spies because they work for spying organizations. Mm-hmm. But if you are...
But technically, they're just gathering information.
But if you're somebody who may have been hired by the FBI mm-hmm. to spy on the Trump campaign mm-hmm. and figures inside of the Trump campaign, you're not spying. You're just gathering information mm-hmm. because... spying has nothing to do with gathering information.
That's right. There's none of that. We won't be gathering information.
And so this is where we are. This is where we are tonight, just so people know. And I want to go here to Tucker Carlson last night, who had on Molly Hemingway from The Federalist and Tom Fenton from Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch is really, if you want to find the, in my opinion at least, one of the premier organizations, private organizations in the United States that focuses on getting Freedom of Information Act requests from the government. They want to know what the government is doing, and they want the Freedom of Information request fulfilled, because they want to see the documents. As they have said, that even in these meetings that were held, the documents were not presented. They simply told everybody what was going on. And as he said, that's not good enough. They need to see the documents. The documents is what gets you to the truth. And this is part of the discussion that went on last night.
You and I hate to start on a media question, but it determines how people understand a story, what they read and what they see on television. There are still news outlets as of tonight that are pretending like there was no spying. on the Trump campaign. So can you just say definitively, do we know as a factual matter that the Obama FBI spied on the Trump campaign, or don't we?
Well, everyone knows that there was a spy, and in fact, people who were involved in the spying are admitting that there is a spy. They're saying, though, that because the government term is human intelligence informant or something like that, that therefore it's not a spy. Whereas normal Americans understand that when you are gathering information on someone surreptitiously, that's the common definition of spying. And more than that, that's just a stunning revelation that this was happening under the previous administration, that there would be this kind of surveillance, not just at least one human intelligence informant, but also wiretaps, national security letters, which are how you can secretly get a subpoena. And who knows what else is going on? So actually, like, widespread spying involving multiple people in the Trump campaign, and we still don't really know what's going on because they're trying to fight.
And that's the point. And by the way, I should point out in the interest of honesty that these are agencies controlled by the Trump White House. So it's not clear to me at all why we don't know this, and that why the committees in the Congress who have oversight over all of this don't know. There was a meeting today, famously, about this, Tom. Do you think members of Congress, again, charged with oversight of this stuff, know the answer as of tonight?
No, my understanding is they're still being strung along. This meeting was for show. We want to see the documents.
But why would they be strung along?
Because these agencies have contempt for congressional oversight. You have this extraordinary situation of a Republican-controlled Justice Department and FBI attacking and undermining the congressional oversight activities of a Republican-controlled House and Senate. And they didn't want to turn over the documents, so they said, we'll have a meeting and we'll talk about the secret spy game we had, but it won't be public. We won't tell you what we have in terms of turning over documents, which is still the big fight. You know, Judicial Watch specializes in the Freedom of Information Act because we recognize the government documents really tell you what went on, and government official descriptions of what went on, as we're learning from the Obama gang that's describing this spy as an informant in a dishonest way. We need to see the documents. We need to know how much money was this person paid. Was money transferred as a result of his involvement with the Trump campaign? Who else was he working with? Were there others?
But there's a time limit. There's a timer. Sand is passing through the hourglass here. If Democrats take the House and take control, majority control of these committees, then how will we find out? They have no interest in getting this information to the public.
And this is why it would be nice if everyone on both sides of the aisle had a common understanding that spying on political opponents is not a good precedent, and it's not good for having Americans having confidence in the FBI.
Have you seen any liberals say that?
I mean, there have been a few, I think very exceedingly few. Mark Penn is someone who was a Clinton advisor who has been making that argument. In addition to the issue that the Department of Justice thinks that they are accountable to no one, not the president under whose branch they serve, or Congress, which funds them and created them, I think it also must mean that the information is really damaging, really dangerous, that they're willing to subvert any authority in order to keep that a secret. So this is something that I think they can keep this from getting out. I don't think they will actually.
Yeah, and the pretexts they use to hide this information from public view are dishonest. So tonight, Eric Felton, reporter in Washington, has a piece explaining that one of the many facts redacted by the FBI in documents obtained through FOIA reveals that Andy McCabe spent $70,000 on a piece of office furniture. They held that back on grounds of national security. Does that imperil us, Tom, as a country, now that our enemies know that Andy McCabe spent $70,000 on a piece of office furniture?
I mean, of course it doesn't. And it shows you that the FBI and Department of Justice can't be trusted to evaluate fairly whether documents should be released or not. And the president, who constitutionally runs the agencies, needs to intervene and stop himself from being strung along by his appointees and tell them to release these records.
Right. He's listening
Review
to his
them
lawyers.
Quickly.
Never listen to your lawyers. If there's one piece of advice I have for my children, it's don't listen to your lawyers.
So when you hear that, I mean, it's all the points that we have made all along. And you know, she was Molly Hellman was asked, you know, Democrats don't seem to be mentioning any of this at all, and she's right. Mark Penn, the former Clinton advisor that we have brought on, understands the seriousness of this. And all we have to say is that once you allow this to happen, once this happens from one side, and once it is hidden from the American public, and you have the bureaucracy operating on its own with impunity and not under the oversight and jurisdiction of our elected representatives, then don't come crying when it happens to your side.
Right. Well, and Ms. Hemingway also makes another point that we have made, and that is it must be something very damaging for everyone in this line to try and protect and hold out on the information. They're trying to do that for a reason. If this were on the up and up, I mean, it's as disingenuous as Mueller the other day on those on the indictments and the trial for those 13 Russians, saying that essentially we're not ready, saying the discovery is too process will be too complicated. There's a reason that this kind of desperation is out there, and it's because of political motivation. And that in the case of this whole spy thing, they're trying to hold this information back simply because, and we've asked the question, it's too big. My question is, how deep does it go? You know, well, they make the point in this conversation about, you know, if the Democrats win in the fall, well, we want to know the truth. It's that simple. And if the Democrats think that this isn't worth looking into, if they think they can hide this, I think they're flat out wrong. Because they can't.
Well, there does come to a point, because the president, image-wise, earlier in the week, made it clear, I want this information to be given. Mm-hmm. You know, we were told that Kelly was going to meet with everybody, and they would be able to see the documents. Mm-hmm. And what Fenton and others are saying is they didn't get to see the documents. Mm-hmm. Basically, those that are under suspicion, let those elected representatives know what their opinion was of what was going on, mm-hmm. and not let them see the actual documents. It will get to the point, and I believe it will be very, very soon here, where the president's going to realize he's being played as a sucker by this, even by some in his own administration, because eventually the president is going to have to say in this case, or in all likelihood, I believe the odds are, I can't predict the future, that he's going to have to come out and say, look, declassified. I order these things to be declassified right now, mm-hmm. and that they be shown, you know, to the public, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Because you can't let this sit. You can't let this stench inside the FBI and the Department of Justice. You can't let this fester. Whatever it is, you've got to let it out.
Yep. There's no other choice. And you really don't have time to waste here. You really don't. The Democrats, if they won in the fall, you know, of course, and then the changes would take place in January. They can sit on this as long as they want to, but eventually the truth will get out, and eventually the Justice Department is serving under this president, and at some point political pressure is going to be there, even if it happens that late, I guess is my point. You know, I think the Justice Department is going to get that kind of pressure from the top. And let's see, by the way, I don't know that Jeff Sessions will be Attorney General at that point.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Radio. He is Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up on the top of the hour, apparently Harvey Weinstein will be arrested on rape charges. We'll have that coming up. Reading this here from Deadline's Dominic Patton. Brian got this to us. Weinstein will almost certainly be doing a perp walk.
Wow.
Camera crews will be there. They say Weinstein is estimated to arrive at the precinct at 7 a.m. Friday after surrendering and going through the booking process. And then also, we heard the charges now being the allegations, not charges, but the yeah. allegations against Morgan Freeman, when mm-hmm. and his response was not to deny it, but to an apology for anybody that he may have wronged in any way. I didn't see an admission of any criminal guilt.
Right. It ranged from a number of things, things that he said, behavior around women that he worked with on the set of movies, not necessarily actresses, but also it started with a CNN reporter, a, an entertainment reporter. And there was something that happened. In fact, she showed the footage of that interview. And he was sitting there with co-stars of the movie at the time, Alan Arkin and Michael Caine. And he's sitting in the middle. And he said something that was just totally weird and bizarre. And he was looking at her very bizarrely. And it was clearly out of line. And she said at that point, I started to ask some questions. I went and talked to the women that he had worked with on previous movies, including that movie that they were promoting in that interview. And according to the allegations, again, it was inappropriate comments and gestures and everything else on the set. As you mentioned, nothing rising at this point to criminal behavior.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE, as we head into Memorial Day weekend. Probably not a more emotional time to be talking about the NFL and the anthem policy, huh?
Right.
Coming right into Memorial Day weekend. You know, we spent a lot of time yesterday talking about it. We've spent a lot of time for the last couple of years talking about it. And the left is still completely and totally clueless on it all. I mean, the league, if you listen to last night's show, you'll understand. I mean, the cluelessness of the left, or the willful ignorance. And, you know, I feel like I'm a broken record. You know, I'm saying it over and over again, but when we realize we live in a nation where the majority of people don't know what the three branches of government are, when they don't know what the three branches of government are, they do not understand the separation of powers. So they don't understand the difference between the United States and other countries. So when you have somebody on the left say, there's no difference between us and China or us and North Korea, I understand that they're speaking from complete ignorance, which is not stupidity, but it is either a lack of knowledge or a willful ignorance, which means you do not want to accept the facts that actually exist. You know the facts, but you ignore them willfully. And so on the freedom of speech issue, it isn't surprising at all. I don't get angry about it because it comes from the ignorance of the people talking. And you saw it, you know, whether it was Steve Kerr, the NBA coach last night, in his comments, complete and total ignorance, not understanding the facts, not wanting to understand the facts,
right?
Wanting to promote a certain narrative on a consistent basis and ignore the facts, or whether it was you're watching The View yesterday. And I'm going to play some of this from The View yesterday, the back and forth, and just how when you listen to it, you're like, well, that's not happening. That's not happening. That's not what's going on. That's not what's going on. And you shake your head because you can't even discuss the point, because they're in some type of delusional world that never has existed and doesn't exist at present. Here it is.
Listen, I disagree. I know it's unpopular in this room. I get it. That's why we do this job. 53% of Americans, according to a Washington Post poll published yesterday, said it's never inappropriate to kneel during the national anthem. I have a flag in my dressing room. I have many in my home. It is what we drape the coffins of soldiers' bodies when they come back from war. It's a very obviously deeply, intensely emotional issue. Couldn't disagree with everyone more.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm just going to add my little two cents that oftentimes the bodies of some of the men that the guys are kneeling about don't get to have coffin, don't get to have flags on them, because sometimes, you know, listen, there are a lot of things that make us Americans. The fact that we can disagree and I can sit and you can stand and we can still continue on. But the idea that now in America, you are not allowed to disagree. You're not allowed to do that. You know, in a dictatorship, you got to stand.
Okay, I wanted to finish that. I had stopped, and then I realized in a dictatorship, you have to stand. What she is describing does not exist.
No.
Whoopi Goldberg is bringing up an idea that doesn't exist at all.
That the NFL is a dictatorship.
Right. That the NFL and their policy is the same as having a government that is a dictatorship. Mm-hmm. And so this is what we deal with. If you want to know, you know, as I've said, the minor frustration, doing talk radio is really great, but the minor frustration of being a talk show host now is compared to 29 years ago. 29 years ago, when I first started, we would argue liberal versus conservative. Now we argue reality versus, for example, on this topic, Whoopi Goldberg talking about something that does not exist. Mm-hmm. She's not even talking about the topic at hand. And the topic at hand is when you're at work, when you voluntarily sign a contract to make millions of dollars, there are rules and regulations that you must abide by. We all abide by it. And you cannot act like you would act when you are on your own free time. It's that simple. And so when you have somebody like Whoopi Goldberg, again, she's saying this because she can't defend her point. So what does she do? She sets up a, not a straw man, but a straw scenario.
Yeah.
Something that doesn't exist.
Yep.
Whoopi Goldberg and Colin Kaepernick and Michael Bennett, any of them can protest whenever they want. There isn't one person trying to stop them from protesting on their own time.
They can disagree. They've always, in fact, professional sports, you go back decades, and we've had a number of athletes who have agreed and disagreed with government policy or a number of things over the years. Who can't disagree, Whoopi?
Right. Who can't disagree? You're disagreeing.
Right. You just disagreed with the NFL.
Has Colin Kaepernick been punished by the government of the United States?
Nope.
Nope. Has he been punished by the state of California?
No.
Nope. Has he been punished by the city of San Francisco?
Nope.
Nope. Do we know where Colin Kaepernick stands on the issues?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So what type of world, fantasy world, is Whoopi Goldberg in? But this is what we heard yesterday. We got comments on it on the air, where it doesn't matter. You can put the truth in front of these people, and it doesn't matter. They go into their own delusional fantasy world that doesn't even exist and never has existed in their lifetime.
And this is the mainstreaming of this kind of protest activity. To the point where now you're extreme if you say that you can't hold a protest on the field. That's extreme.
Right.
Now, if Tim Tebow wants to pray on the field, now we've got a problem. But if I want to kneel, no. If I want to kneel during the national anthem, if the NFL wants to come out and set the rule and tomorrow say anybody can kneel at any time and will delay the game for as long as they want to kneel in protest, they can do that.
They can do that.
That's simple. There's no punishment here by the government.
When the NFL first came out in support of the players that were kneeling, We didn't come out and say that.
Was that a dictatorship?
Yeah. We didn't come out and say it was a because we said they have the absolute right to do whatever they wish to do.
Yep. They can make their choices.
When Jerry Jones pretended he was with the players and sat there and held hands with them. Mm-hmm. By the way, how did he vote the other day?
Exactly.
That's why I told you. Right. I said, by the way, now we know that Jerry was pretending.
Yeah, where's the unity now, Jerry?
We said, look, they had the right. They had the right to do it. Now we had the right to say, okay, I am not going to. I'm not going to be somebody. I'm not going to be a customer of your product anymore because I disagree with what is going on, and I disagree with not only what's going on, but I disagree with the message. And we disagreed. We went beyond whether it was. We went way beyond whether it was just disrespectful. We went to the precise things that Colin Kaepernick, and we broke it down point by point. What he was protesting. We brought you why it was false, and then we brought you what he was advocating, which was a much more communist way of life in his own words and actions. Mm-hmm. And we explained to you why it was wrong and why we disagreed with it, and we didn't believe that the NFL was the place to, you know, to have that platform, but they have a right to do that, and so we will just not be a purchaser of that product, which we all have the right to do.
Right.
Well, now it goes the other way, and there's the left claiming that we somehow now live in a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's completely, I mean, Whoopi is so zoned out in some type of bizarro world, fantasy world, with that statement.
Mm-hmm.
That you sit there and you just say, are we going to deal with reality here?
Right.
Are we going to deal with reality? Are we going to work for a network show that just throws out scenarios that don't exist? What Whoopi said was a lie that you could drive 50 trucks through.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist. We don't live in a dictatorship.
Yeah, she wants you to believe that that people here in the NFL, these players, are being oppressed. Nope. You don't have to play in the NFL.
Nope.
Just ask Colin Kaepernick. He chose not to play in the NFL any longer. Oh, wait. Maybe he didn't make that choice. This is the insanity. This is exactly where we are as a nation, that we're just going to meld it into the mainstream and call it extreme when an organization makes a rule. This is the calling out of the NFL. And by the way, we warned the NFL months ago, last year, actually.
Yep.
Okay, great. Now you've stepped right into the middle of it. It's not over, and it won't be over. Every time you make a move, it's going to be renewed all over again.
What you are assuming is you can appease the left up front and then be quiet for a while and then come and shut it down.
Right.
Well,
you don't get to close the door.
That's what you're getting now from a Whoopi Goldberg, is that the NFL now with their policy is the same as a government dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of common sense critical thinking coming from The View.
Right. And now let's see what the viewership does in the fall when football comes back. Because you had people in part walking away, viewers walking away because of the protests.
Well, it's not over yet. Who knows if the owners will come back in another month and say, well, we've, you know, and pull a Starbucks on us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, at least 2 days have gone by, though. Mm-hmm. They have been at least 2 days before they revised their policy.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know where you go.
Well, I did see this.
Any move you make is going to erode your viewership even more, because I think that some of the liberals are going to decide, well, I don't want to watch a game that's going to impose this kind of rule on the players. You stepped in it. This is the way it goes in 2018 and beyond. You don't make the rules anymore. You don't control your own house. Ask the Scouts. Ask Starbucks and anyone else. You open the door, you decide to be a part of it, you decide to jump in, and you're going to be the hero. Unity. Uh-huh.
I wonder if the NFL is going to be distributing condoms now to all of everybody in the stadium. Condom day.
It's a condom. Could already be happening for all I know. I don't know. I don't pay that much attention.
Well, I'm just going back. Okay, I'm confusing the Boy Scouts jamboree with the bill or with the. Well, there actually were some. Remember the sex scene they had at the Bill, in the Bills parking lot?
Really?
Yeah, it was like last year or the year before.
Oh, I must have missed that.
I just realized that now when I was, you know, trying to make a joke and compare the Boy Scouts jamboree to the
NFL. I missed that in the Bills parking lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was bad.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole new form of tailgating, isn't it?
Yeah. It wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 866-90-RED-EYE.
The dates and location for the 36th annual Shell Rotella Super Rigs Contest are set. Dave Waterman from Shell has the details.
We are going to be at White's Travel Center in Raphine, Virginia. It's a little bit outside of Lexington, Virginia, right off of I-81 and I-64. It was designed way back when as a way for Shell Rotella to give back to the trucking community, appreciation for all they did and all the support of our brand. It's an event that really encourages truckers to get together, whether they're going to show a show caliber truck or just their daily driver that might have some scratches and dings in it. It's open to all of them. And in fact, we encourage, as you know, the working truck. Judging, of course, is going to take place Thursday through Saturday. We're going to have a light contest taking place on Thursday, and then we'll do a truck parade down to Old Town Lexington. There'll also be health checks available for truckers on site. We're going to do the scavenger hunt again so folks can walk away with prizes. Just on the Shell Rotella Super Rigs part of it, it's up to $25,000 in both cash and prizes.
They want to learn more. Where do they go?
Well, they can go to Rotella.com. They can also go to whitestravelcenter.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Joe in Cranston, Rhode Island. About the NFL. Joe, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, good.
I thought this was supposed to be a done deal. I remember 5 or 6 months ago, the NFL agreed to spend $80 million to back legislation in Congress to make it easier to give light sentences to drug dealers. I mean, you know, I personally think the NFL, that money would have been better spent maybe creating programs for youth to gear them towards sports, since parents have very few avenues to push against peer pressure, you know, and steer our kids into something good. And in return, the players were supposed to cut the crap on the field.
I don't know of any quid pro quo agreement that was in place between the NFL and the players. I know that the NFL, and thank you for the call, was looking to give money, you know, to, they were talking about setting up money for certain causes.
To a variety of different funds, you know, some allegations where there were George Soros funds. I don't know exactly where the money is or was or will be going to precisely.
Right.
I'm assuming they will be more left causes, but it might have been, not been a quid pro quo, but it was at least they were hoping that this could help soothe the NFL players when they put this in. And what you're soothe. But what you learn is when you're dealing with the left and you think, okay, we've given them some money and now that's all we... No. You're eventually going to have to go all the way.
You're not going to shut the door on this.
Right.
You don't get to do that.
Again, look at the Boy Scouts.
Right.
Look at Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to end. It's not going to end. And the NFL has a lot of money. There's a ton of money inside the NFL. So when there is that much money, well, you're going to be that target. Once you step in it, there's reason, there's motive to go after the NFL and have them give up more money. Give more money to this cause, that cause, my cause. Let me start a new cause.
The only thing that hasn't hit yet is the fact that when you have decreased ratings, when you find out that ticket prices, again, when you start seeing stadiums that aren't filled, and the revenue starts going down, eventually the players are going to have to take the hit.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that has not yet happened, is the players have not yet taken a hit from this. That will come in their contract renegotiation in a couple of years when the NFL projects out to the NFL Players Association and said, excuse me, you were behind the social justice warriors doing all of this. This means a decrease in revenue. That means even if you get the same share of revenues as you've always gotten, that's going to be a heck of a lot less money because revenues are down.
Save Society, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara, Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Yeah, the NFL's going to, again, I think it's so important to point out, they're going to go through the same thing that Starbucks is going through right now, and the same thing that the Boy Scouts went through. But Starbucks, you know, think about this. You know, we actually had a call the other day from a listener who said, well, yeah, but Starbucks is setting the precedent of the way companies have to be, which is companies shouldn't be serving their customers, but everybody, including their non-customers. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's such an unreal world look at how industry really works. That's a complete not understanding about the majority of profit margins for the majority of companies out there who spending any time worrying about serving people who won't be their customers is something they can't consider because they can't survive doing that. That it shows you the unreal world that the left lives in.
Well, you can't accommodate the people that aren't, you should accommodate the world, not your customer base. Think about that. That's an insane approach to business. It means that you should spend a lot of money, which would mean that you would spend just as much or even more money, depending on how far you wanted to go with that idea, accommodating people that will never give you money.
Sort of like McDonald's responding to the people that were criticizing them
that never eat at McDonald's
for their food, who yeah. never eat at McDonald's to begin with, and weren't going to if they changed their menu.
Right. And then they decided, oh, wait, we make burgers and fries. We're going to go back to that. That's the insanity of the world we live in. I mean, that really is the 2018 description of our society.
I think you made a great point in our pre-show meeting. Would you like to say it again? Do you remember which?
I know about,
you,
I
know
what?
I know you made so many great points in our pre-show meeting.
I counted four. Yeah.
that 50 years from now, mm-hmm. when people look back at 2018.
We're gonna dig up. Well, they're going to. I ain't going to be here because you guys are doomed. 50 years, 100 years from now, at some point, I really think there's going to be some kind of event. I don't know what it will be, but some kind of event that resets everything where people go, okay, wait a minute. Let's calm down on the crazy. And then it will kind of be a bit of a reset. And then decades down the road, they'll dig up a time capsule and they'll say, no, wait, what? Because you and I were going over the Rachel Dolezal story and how she's being charged because of welfare fraud, claiming that she made less than $500 a month in child support and getting these welfare benefits. And it was, less than $9,000, but it was still fraud when she was getting tens of thousands of dollars in her bank account, ultimately over $80,000 deposited as a sale as a result of the sale of her book. And so that's fraud. She's being charged with it. And
Felony fraud.
Yes. And when you go back to the, the original story, imagine someone 100 years from now looking at a time capsule. I'm sorry, she did what? She claimed what? Because it's either that or we go completely off the rails and over the edge. Because we either have that reset or we don't. And if we don't, we keep going toward, I don't know what kind of virtual unicorn reality we would possibly live in even 10 years from now if this doesn't reverse or slow down.
Well, and we asked that question when we got to the whole transracial thing. Is that where the left eventually jumped the shark? Which goes back to the Happy Days episode, which says Happy Days should have been done once Fonzie was jumping over the shark.
Mm-hmm.
But as Gary Marshall pointed out, they went on for another 3 or 4 years, very, very successful.
Right.
So he doesn't agree that that was the jump the shark moment, even though he understood it.
Yeah,
it was great when he talked about it one time. But and you and I asked that, and then we saw what's happening in Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to accuse Rhode Island of it again, as I did the other day. the whole Delaware school system and the whole thing that a child in the school can claim whatever race or gender they wish to have. But you make a great point. It can only go so far. People understand what the truth is.
Yes. Actually, I think we're starting to see that turn. Yeah. I think we started to see it in November of 2016. I don't know if that's permanent. I have no idea. Because of the bombastic energy of the current president, I don't know if everyone is blinded by that, because it's almost impossible to gauge. But I tend to believe, just based on what we have seen in recent polls, the president's approval numbers, and things that seem to be shifting or settling. We hit 2016 and it was like that correction, right? That big correction you might see on the market. And everybody was, especially on the left, going crazy. And then it seemed that the president was getting all that flack. And of course, it was not much of it was just based on either his words or some allegations that have never come true, never been proven on massive levels. And I think people are tiring of that, and where the pendulum is coming back, and I think we're seeing that in the numbers. So I tend to believe that there still is, because I believe most people look at the very common sense approach to things, and it's the libertarian approach, really, and that is, look, if you want to live your life, fine. Go live your life. But don't make me believe. Don't say that I have to be involved in your fantasy.
I guess, when you look at what liberalism has brought, and as we have said, look, we understand that the human mind is an extremely complicated thing. And, people can feel, because of the great chemistry set that we are, I'm sure there are people out there that have feelings that may be male that believe that they're female.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the dynamics of it. I don't think anybody really does. There may be some people out there that actually believe if they are one race that they are another race.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So be it. They may feel that way. It doesn't make it so. That is not the reality that others must be forced to accept that the left is throwing out. But to get to that point where you wish to make it legal, that you legally are what you think you are, that's where you start getting into the delusional world. But it's the same delusional world that we heard Whoopi Goldberg when talking about the NFL policy and basically saying this is what goes on in a dictatorship and we live in a free country. And the fact is that the United States is becoming more of a dictatorship because of a private organization having rules of conduct,
mm-hmm,
that 99% of companies also have, which has nothing to do with the dictatorship. My point is, if you can be delusional on one end, which is to convince people that what isn't true is in transracialism, transgenderism, and you wish to force the government to do it. Is it part of that same mindset to force people to do that, which is that creates the same delusion as Whoopi Goldberg believes is fact, that because of what the NFL did, that shows that we are moving much more towards a dictatorship when it's anything but? Because if you have any understanding of the Constitution, you understand property rights and private organizations versus the government. And the fact that a private organization has the right to run their organization as they wish to run it. Why? It's their property. And everything that that private organization has done with those people that are complaining, they have signed a voluntary contract with that organization to do a certain thing. So I just, when you see this, when you see this expanding, and for example, I mean, and I'll tell you one of the other things. I mean, one of the other things you could look at this week, the whole MS-13 in animals. Now they did a survey. About 56% of people believe that, or 54%, whatever it was, believe that, no, it's that it is appropriate. Yeah, it can describe a murderous gang member. Yeah, an animal, that's no problem. 44% disagree. Now, do they really disagree with that? Do they really disagree that it's wrong to call a member of MS-13 an animal, or is it just that they hate Donald Trump?
Right. Right.
And because that's a very important question.
We've seen that with other polls.
Right, because if 46% of Americans believe it's completely and totally objectionable to call a murderous gang member an animal, well, then we have problems.
Mm-hmm. Because had Trump not said it, what would the poll look like?
That would be my question, yes. But, we have become, and when we have played those audio clips of people going onto college campuses and talking to young people and saying, well, okay, can I be a 6-foot-tall Asian man? And they all laugh and they go, well, I guess if you want to be. The one thing that you and I took out of this was the pauses and hesitation. They weren't saying what they truly believed. They were saying what they were being told they had to say.
Right.
If you get to that point where you're being told what you have to say and you feel the peer pressure to do it, even if you don't believe it, do you answer polls that same way? Is it completely skewed? Is the reason that people believe or claim to believe so much of the left fantasies that exist out there is because they believe they're supposed to say it, not that they actually believe it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you just brought up a point. Most people understand what reality is.
Of course they do. You know, when you talk about the schools in Rhode Island or this mentality, you're taking it to the next level. You're creating that legal system now approach where you move this into the legal system, which is those schools. And those schools, of course, they govern the rules. They govern the students. And to some degree, they really kind of govern the parents, because they block out what the parents can say, the influence that the parents have on many of these issues. And they decide they're going to raise your children, and they'll decide whether or not you're going to be the parent. You know, if you have an objection to your child conducting themselves this way or engaging in this behavior, then we're going to label that as abuse. How dare you tell your child what to do? How dare you parent your child? That's how far this has gone. You're not in control. When the former administration decided they were going to hand down that edict that said, if that young man says he's a girl, no parents needed, no doctor needed, no therapy needed, nothing. They don't have to do anything. This is not post-surgery. This is not post-hormonal therapy. This is nothing except for that boy saying he is a girl. Not only do you have to allow him to go into the locker room, you also, if they go on a road trip, cannot make separate accommodations for him in a hotel room. So my question is that what we want? Is this the kind of behavior that we want from our government? I don't think so.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Just not going to spend a lot of time on this, but there's a headline. Former President Obama, my Netflix projects will help train the next generation of leaders and heal our political divide, because the former president is about healing and bringing together. And as you mentioned to me, he mentioned that his goal is to, he warned against tribalism.
Yes, he says, you know, when we get divided, things get heated up, I'm paraphrasing, that we go tribal.
From the man who told Christians to get off their high horses when relating to radical Islam because of the Crusades.
Right. Yeah. He's going to bring people together.
Try to pull that one off.
Yeah, he's still buying his own hype.
Now that he's not in office anymore, he can pretend that he is something else than what he really is.
Right. Well, it was all for him about the promotion, right? It was always about the speeches and this and the rock star attitude. Well, this is right up his alley. Now, you know, he gets to be a celebrity. That's really what he wanted.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks for being here this morning. For a lot of people getting ready to have a great Memorial Day weekend, I'm heading out to Tampa in the morning.
Are you really?
Yes. Become a tradition. One of my great friends who I was a bill collector with in college, myself and Jerry and his wife, we get together. We try once a year. You know, I've known them for 40 years now, over 40 years.
Mm.
So we try to get together at least once a year. So
all right,
hopefully, 12 hours from now. Yeah, 12 hours from now.
Yeah, you'll be there.
Hopefully, I'll be at the Tarpon Turtle.
Okay,
Tarpon Springs, Florida.
All right.
Looking at the little baby gators.
Some of them aren't babies.
In Tarpon Lake. When I was there last year, it was Memorial Day. There was like a gator, and 2 days in a row, it went by like at the same time. And they said, "No, this the gator we." I don't know if they called it 5 o'clock Charlie or something. I'm thinking of the old MASH episode, but it was like the skin. Oh, yeah, it comes by almost the same time every day, and you can see it out there about 200, 300 yards, and there it is cruising along. It's like, whoa.
Yeah, right. The huge gators on the golf course.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I don't like that at all.
That's one of the million reasons I don't play golf. that we have gators on our golf courses
here. You would ask me. I mean, he and his wife, you know, live in a house, and then it's funny because everybody has a small pool.
Right.
It's like everybody in Florida has a pool.
It's like a must, right? Yeah.
And so they've all got, you know, it's all screened in because of the bugs. And it's funny because even in Texas here where I have my pool, I don't know if it's screened in. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, we have bugs, but We're tougher than people from Florida. Clearly.
Well, apparently they have more.
They have. I think they have bigger bugs.
Well, they have bigger bugs like gators.
Well, it's. I mean, there's so much water in that state and around that state, of course.
And where they live on, this little pond feeds into all the other ponds that feed into this river that heads right to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, so. I think the state motto is Florida. We're mostly water.
So I remember one day we got back to his house. He said, "Come here." Mm. And he said, "You want to see some gators?" I'm like, "Where?" And we're behind, you know, we're in the screened off area of his pool area. And we walk up, he goes, "Right there." And there's two little baby gators, you know, just right out of the little pond right there. And probably, you know, he's 10 feet from the pond. They're right there. It's like, I don't like that.
Yeah, because
I can
that
handle
means
snakes. I can handle mosquitoes.
There's got to be a mama somewhere around there.
Yeah. And he said that's why the dogs are always inside. He's got, you know, two little tiny dogs. And it's like he goes, that's why the dogs are always inside of the screen. You don't let them run out free.
Right.
And I said, have you ever seen a big gator yet? And he said, well, we've seen them in the lake, but, you know, out there. But I've never seen one, you know, no gators ever come and start walking around the neighborhood. Or trying to get, you know, through the screens. As that one, did that happen here in the last month or so? There was a gator that tried to get through, got through successfully a screen in a Florida home, and then was actually in the pool, like a 12-foot gator.
Yeah, it was in the pool. Yeah. Which makes you wonder, I mean, was he lost or was he just looking to take a swim?
So this is the closest and it's only 2 days. I mean, I'm back Friday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. So, I mean, I go in Friday, you know, basically spend Sunday or Saturday there, and then I'm back Sunday. But I sort of look at it as the only vacation I get, and it's supposed to rain the entire time I'm there.
Yeah. Well, it's Florida.
Well, I mean, other times that I've been there, you know, we'll sit there and we'll drive down to, you know, just Clearwater Beach, and there's a bunch of places there.
Right.
But you drive down to Clearwater, and it's like I get my sand and palm trees. It's like after a day and a half or 2 days, I'm done. Mm. Okay. That's vacation. And I always tell them, they said, could you live here? And I went, no. They said, why? They said, why not? I said, because it's like I'm supposed to have a good time all the time. I need to be back to more barren land.
Yeah.
And I'm kidding, because we have rolling hills where I live and all that. So, I mean, I live in a very nice place, but I kid them all the time. But you do feel like when you're there, it's almost like, okay, I have to vacation for a couple of, you know, for a day or two.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm ready. It's like, I'm like sort of like you. By the time I go on vacation, you're gone a couple of days, and it's like, all right, what's going on in the news? What's going on? What's going on? But I will get away from it really completely when I'm with all of them. Hmm. And then, you know, we have to do Saturday.
What?
He's got two of his British friends, and apparently there's some big soccer match, Liverpool against somebody.
Okay.
He said, by the way, Saturday afternoon at 3, we have to go watch the big, you know, football match.
Mm-hmm.
Football match? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did the WWE start, or did the league start already, or whatever it is, the XFL? He goes, no. He goes, my two British friends.
Right.
He said, it's the big soccer match.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'll be ready to go home then Saturday afternoon.
I'll be ready to go home.
I'll be ready at that point.
Yeah.
No, it'll be fun.
Can I get an early flight? Sure, yeah, if you're watching it in that setting.
Yeah, of course, especially with two Englishmen that are really into it and, you know, and going crazy, it will be fun.
Yeah.
It will actually be. I know a couple of his friends that are British, and it's quite fun, especially, as you said. Now, the ones from Liverpool, so when they get really excited, you really can't understand a lot of what they're saying.
All right. Good.
But okay.
That makes it even more fun.
So it will be, it'll be good just to get. And you know the best thing about it is? Because, you know, when I go to Buffalo, they're never direct flights. Do you know how great it is?
Get on a plane and only have to get off it once?
Yes. I mean, it's
yeah.
You know, again, first world problems, of course.
Yeah.
But when every flight I ever take, almost 95% of my flights, you know, I have to get a connection.
Right.
And so I'm just so looking forward to getting on the plane. It takes off when it lands.
Mm-hmm.
I get off. I have my baggage. I go right to the door. You know, he'll call me. I'm right here. Boom. Get in the car. And to me, that's what makes a quality life.
Yeah.
At least it will be tomorrow and Sunday.
I'm going to spend the weekend making my house cooler. Do you see the forecast for next week? Like 3 or 4 days in a row above 100.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, it's an older house. It's 50 years old. So I've been doing a lot of work on the house in the last year. And you're always doing work on it. But I'm upgrading some insulation, some attic vents, and some other things just to make it the AC more efficient and everything else. Because if it's going to be... I was doing this anyway, but I'm doing a lot of work today, later today, on going to make a lot of ground on that project and just in time. But, I mean, for me, it's all about if I'm going to spend the money on the home, it's going to be clean, safe, and efficient. So I'm always working to that degree.
I had to pull the trigger, you know, this couple weeks ago on a new AC heating system, the entire thing.
Right.
Oh, what a hit that was.
Upgrade to the coolant and everything. I did that years ago.
Yeah, because I had the old Freon
right,
system.
Yeah.
And you told me a couple of years
mm-hmm,
ago.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you know, you're not going to have this for 10 years
right,
because the Freon's going through the old Freon's going through the roof.
Right. They're going to quit making it,
yeah.
And it's, you know, I think the mandate is 2020 or something like that.
Yeah, but it's so limited right now, the supply of it, where they, you know, it would have, let's put it this way, with the repairs that they had to make, because they had a leak, they had to find and all this mm-hmm. stuff, and I had a mm-hmm. couple other things, and with the cost of the Freon, because I was low on it, it would have been $4,000 just to do the repairs.
Right.
And he said, and you're going to have to replace the system in 2 years anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, so, you know, I had to get that done. But the best part of it is, though, now everything's on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can look and say, you know, if the one thing I didn't know is, you know, because the CAD, I've got cameras on and everything's automated, mm-hmm. everything. So
you duct taped a camera to his head, I understand.
Yes.
Is that how it worked?
Oh, and I got cameras all throughout the house, and so mm-hmm. I can follow them, so I know it. And if anything's wrong,
you should get a cat cam. Seriously, like put it on the collar or something.
It probably could do that, couldn't it? It probably exists, doesn't it?
Just make a little video. It'd be fun.
See if he's moving.
Right. See what he does during the day. What's he interested in?
Nothing.
Nothing exactly.
When I first got the cat, they said, you know, cat are social creatures. When you leave, you need to make sure that somebody checks on them every couple of days. Not my cat.
No. A lot of them are very independent.
No,
And kind of prefer that you leave.
like I said, I've got cameras, so I know his schedule. I'll see him walk. When he walks around, boom, it hits, and, you know, the alarm goes off. You know, now, I know that he got big for a certain point because my cameras can tell the difference between movement and a person.
Right.
And it said
right.
There's a person in your kitchen. It's like, right. Oh, first time you see that. Oh, no.
Right.
I look, and it's him sitting on my
That's
kitchen table.
That's kind of creepy, by the way.
Yeah. It's him sitting on the kitchen table.
There's
like,
a person in your kitchen.
It's like,
and
okay.
You're in the bedroom.
It's like, okay, he's getting too fat. So I know with the cameras and... And when I
now
go,
you got a thermostat that's controlled. By
I got the thermostat that's controlled,
mm-hmm.
which is one thing because I don't know if the heater would ever go, and it would, you know, then I would call somebody to grab, you know, to come over. One of my good friends who has a key to come over and, you know, and get the cat. But I used to have a friend of mine. She would babysit, and you know, and she loved babysitting during the summer because in you know my house during the summer because why? I've got the pool,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, I'll babysit, mm-hmm. and I you know. Let her know this year. I said, look, you really don't have to this year. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to because I realize he's more freaked out when somebody else new is there.
Yeah.
It stresses him out more when there's somebody there than if he's just there alone. If I'm gone, longest I've been gone is 5 days, and about 4.5 days, he'll start crying for me.
Yeah.
So that's about it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, he just sleeps and does nothing.
Right.
Doesn't do anything, just sleeps, so... So 2 days is really nothing for it, and you can't board him. I talked about the vet. They said, "Nah, this cat freaks out if
mm-hmm.
when there's something new." So the whole thing is to keep down their stress level.
Right.
So as long as I got the cameras and know he's healthy, that's mm-hmm. what I care about. So.
And somebody's got a key.
And yeah, and then the new cameras are amazing because they zoom in on it. I mean, you can zoom in and
unless it's a bad guy, then it becomes blurry for some reason. Why is that?
Yeah, that is true.
Why is that? We've got like 4G, 5K, 9K, 10K. We can't. It's a bad guy. We can't see the face. It's always blurry. You know what? I've come to the conclusion that all bad guys just have blurry faces. That must be it, because it can't be the technology.
Well, we've had some incidents of people, you know, they're not breaking into cars. Mm-hmm. They're just seeing if the doors are open.
No, this is a thing. This is a real thing. It's been going on all over our area for a long time. I have some friends who are police officers and actually serve in my neighborhood. One of them has, in fact, his family just moved in like three doors down. And so I see him on a regular basis, and he tells me all the time, they just try the door, your car door, and to see if it's unlocked. And if it's unlocked, they go through it. If not, they don't break a window, they don't do anything.
Well, in my subdivision, it's been happening like once a month, and it's a huge subdivision. Mm-hmm. It hasn't happened on my street from what I know yet. It could have been, but everybody's got cameras now.
Right.
But that's the whole point. When anything suspicious happens, it's on, you know, they have, what is it, Nextdoor, which is mm-hmm. that the right. app where, mm-hmm. you know, your neighborhood's in it. It'll be, somebody's at my door. It's like, there's the picture. Mm-hmm. Can't see the face.
Right.
Somebody's breaking into cars. You'll get people, 10 different people posting 50 different pictures. All the faces are blurred. It's like, come on!
Yeah, yeah. You know,
what's the use of all the technology?
In fact, my friend told me that there was someone that actually had a dash cam. And I don't know, this must be a different type of dash cam. The vehicle's part was not turned on. And somebody had, I forget what they did to the vehicle, but they got a picture of the person that was, you know, the suspect from the dash cam on the vehicle. And it apparently it's part of an alarm system on the vehicle. There are cameras everywhere. The bad guys, I guess, don't know that. Or, again, maybe they just all have blurry faces. I don't know.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. I just wanted to touch on this here. Not that there's a lot to discuss, but you and I have talked about, you know, where we're going here in the midterms and where the Republican Party is right now and where the Democrat Party is right now. And we have often said that the media doesn't spend enough time talking about the split inside of the Democrat Party that exists right now, the liberal wing versus the more moderate wing that realizes that the identity politics and everything that they have promoted is working against them, that there's nowhere to go. There's no future if you continue to do that. Well, it even goes deeper than that. This Politico covered this one, that Democratic National Committee Chairman Tom Perez has said repeatedly that the National Party should not and won't endorse in primaries. But on Thursday, he stood on a Long Island stage and endorsed Andrew Cuomo. Now, that has just infuriated the far left, who is supporting the actress Cynthia Nixon.
Right.
And the decision to pick favorites in the primary pits now Perez against his deputy chair, Keith Ellison.
Oh.
By the way, both who are radical leftists as far as you can get. But when it comes down to it, Perez looks at it and says, okay. I'm guessing he looks at it and goes, Cuomo's an easy win.
Right, yeah, he's going to win.
The general election.
I know.
Right, Cuomo, he's going to win the primary, too.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you look at it from that point, we want this seat. Cynthia Nixon? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Who knows if that wouldn't be the upset where the Republicans could take the governorship of New York?
Hmm. Okay.
Because she is viewed as so, so radical. Mm. And I guess my point is that's when we're talking about a Democratic Party right now that's so liberal and so radical.
Splitting it to that extent.
Then even the radicals like Tom Perez are saying, well, okay, yeah, we're all radical, but we really can't be putting in candidates that are as radical as we are.
Yeah.
Like, that's how
we need to slow the roll here.
We're really radical. The American public isn't going to accept us. We need to make sure that we can keep liberal states because we're so radical. So let's put in Cuomo, who we view as leftist, but not radical leftist like Cynthia Nixon and myself.
Right. Well, it's interesting because they're a victim of their own situation that they created. You know, the new radical left is going after the old radical left. That's basically it. For VDO Roadlog, here is your national forecast.
An active storm in the Gulf of Mexico is going to produce some heavy showers for Florida. Most likely as we get into Sunday, we'll see the center of this system over central Florida and then make its way up the East Coast for the remainder of the weekend. And that's the three-day weekend, including Memorial Day. By Tuesday, we'll see the system most likely off the coast of New York. So for the next few days, expect showers in the south, with Florida expecting heavy showers and most of the East Coast under the threat of rain chances. The best of the three-day weekend for East Coast beaches would be Saturday, and the best bet would be from North Carolina through New England for clear skies. The Midwest and Northeast are clear today. You'll need the sunglasses if you're traveling I-10 from L.A. through most of Texas. The nation's interior is clear on the West Coast. Heavy rain for Northern California and Central Oregon wraps up today. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Vona Show.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. All right, can I read this from USA Today?
Sure.
Steve Ruz's column. Steve Kerr's NFL criticism shows NBA needs new anthem rule. All right, let me read the first couple of paragraphs.
All right.
Here we go. Because this is just, I sit and shake my head. This is almost as good as the Whoopi comments from earlier, where she lives in her completely delusional world. Steve Kerr, coach of the Golden State Warriors.
All right.
Steve Kerr unsurprisingly had some unflattering things to say about the NFL and its new national anthem policy, which will require players to stand and show respect for the anthem or stay in the locker room while it's being played. Quote, "It's just typical of the NFL. They're just playing to their fan base, and they're basically trying to use the anthem as fake patriotism, nationalism, scaring people. It's idiotic, but that's how the NFL has handled their business. I'm proud to be in a league that understands patriotism in America is about free speech and peacefully protesting. I think our leadership in the NBA understands that when the NFL players were kneeling, they were kneeling to protest police brutality, to protest racial inequality. They weren't disrespecting the flag or the military, but our president decided to make it about that. The NFL followed suit, pandered to their fan base, and created this hysteria." And then here's the writer back to
Okay.
"It's hard to disagree with anything Kerr is saying, but it's worth pointing out that the NBA's anthem policy is similar to the one that the NFL just approved." It's hard to disagree with anything that Steve Kerr says, except his entire premise is false.
Exactly.
Except that Steve Kerr's entire premise is false because the NBA has actually had a policy for the longest time that the NFL is just enacting, and Steve Kerr nothing, never had anything bad to say about it. In fact, he compliments the NBA on it. So one has to question, does Steve Kerr have any idea what the hell is going on in his own league?
I guess not.
Just interesting to bring up.
I'm glad to. Oh, wait, hold on. They're playing the national anthem. I got to go stand up.
Here's the rule. Players, coaches, and trainers are to stand and line up in a dignified posture along the sidelines or on the foul line during the playing of the national anthem. In fact, the NFL's policy actually should be, to liberal Steve Kerr, more acceptable because you are allowed to stay in the locker room.
Yes.
If you don't wish to come out and stand, that doesn't appear apparently in the NBA rule book. So the NBA's rule is actually more oppressive in Steve, it should be in Steve Kerr's opinion, right?
Yes.
Than the NFL rule, yet he is criticizing the NFL rule for having coming up with a policy that is less oppressive than the one the NBA has. Does anybody on the left ever make an ounce of sense?
No.
Oh.
Don't have to.
I mean, it's just...
None of it ever has to make sense.
It just never...
The math doesn't have to add up, ever.
And, you know, but you look at what, you know, Whoopi's saying that. You look at Steve Kerr, and then I go on to the other news from yesterday. Well, there wasn't a spy. There wasn't a spy. There's no evidence there was a spy. Well, yeah, there is. The guy who was spying that nobody is that nobody is denying that he was spying. Yeah, but he wasn't spying. He was an informant gathering information.
Temporarily displaced agent. We can just change.
I mean, it just
the definition of things. Look, this is the entire point of looking into this FBI mess is that were they creating paperwork, which is to create plausible deniability, which showed, well, no, see, we had an informant who was there. Why? To gather information. You mean spy? We like to say gather information.
Well. We have to, because we're dealing with the left, we have to go to the dictionary.
Yeah.
Merriam-Webster here. Spying. Work for a government or other organization by secretly collecting information about enemies or competitors.
Yeah.
And that is spy. Yeah. Work for a government or other organization by secretly collecting information about enemies or competitors. That is a quote.
Yep.
To observe someone secretly. I think it covers it completely.
I think so.
No, there wasn't a spy. It was investigating the Trump campaign secretly.
Yes.
Covertly.
Right.
Well, that's actually the definition of a spy. No. Informant.
It's only
there
an
was
informant.
No spy. This is what we're everything. I mean, whether it's Whoopi on the NFL thing, whether it's Steve Kerr on the NFL thing, whether it's the whole spying thing, they live in a delusional world where they don't even know where they are.
No.
I mean, it's just...
Well, and here's my question. Okay, then why not give it up? Why not give up the information as to where that all began?
Right.
Because it was a legitimate investigative effort, was it not?
I have seen a really rampant acceleration in the rhetoric coming from the left right now. I mean, Jake Tapper, you know, let me see if I can get it here, where he's just, you know, outright, the president is lying. There was no spy.
Yeah.
Nobody is denying that Halper was covertly inside the Trump campaign attempting to get information, correct?
Right.
Is anybody denying that?
No.
Well, they were spying. No. Gathering information. Covertly. That's spying.
And who was it the other day that denied that they said they did not, because the charge was they didn't disclose the source of the dossier? Was it Jake Tapper or was it Cuomo on CNN? They were saying, no. They disclosed it.
The source?
Yeah, they divulged this.
Cuomo said
it was Cuomo.
It was Andrew Cuomo.
I mean, they're just in denial.
Yeah, completely in denial.
Yeah.
Of
Chris Cuomo, not Andrew, right?
Yes, Chris. Yeah. Yes, yes. Did I say Andrew?
Yes.
Oh, Chris.
Yeah, so it's in denial. And by the way, We saw the paperwork. We saw the documents that showed they did not divulge the source of it. But it doesn't matter. Carry on the narrative. Why? Because you can't possibly have been wrong all this time, right? You can't possibly have been carrying the water for people who were doing misdeeds at the Justice Department under James Comey at the FBI,
well,
right?
I have seen the rhetoric just ratcheted up the last couple of days, and the ultimate is, and you know, whether it was, you know, we played the audio cut from Tucker Carlson earlier with Molly Hemingway from the Federalist.com just shaking their heads saying they're still denying that there was a spy in the campaign.
Right.
They're still, that's a lie. It's like, well, no, there was a spy. Mm-hmm. You know, if you wish to say it was an informant spying, it's still spy, right? I mean, this is a kind of language gymnastics that the left wants to get you into.
Right.
And we thought it all depends on what the definition of the word is, was plain word gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're dealing with the new left where everything that is reality isn't reality.
Right.
Because nobody is denying that Stefan Halper was inside of the campaign. We know the history of what he has done for the FBI. Nobody's denying it. But he's not a spy.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he was in there secretly, it was a good thing because he was helping to protect the Trump. I mean, how the narrative has changed. Now the spy is trying to help the Trump campaign.
Right.
I mean, this is...
Yeah, they didn't go to the Trump campaign. They didn't go to the RNC. They didn't inform anybody. They were there to help because they care. Right.
By the way, did I print it up? Oh, yeah, I did print it up.
Uh-huh.
This is really interesting when we... Andrew McCarthy's latest column, How the Clinton Emails Investigation Intertwined with the Russia Probe... And he said the Obama administration's officials and the DOJ and FBI saw the cases as inseparable, that they were linked together.
Mm-hmm.
He goes through the Strzok Lisa Page emails. Cruz just dropped out of the race. It's going to be a Clinton Trump race. Unbelievable. It was a little after midnight on May 4, 2016. FBI lawyer Lisa Page was texting FBI counter espionage agent Peter Strzok about the most stunning development to date in the 2016 campaign. Donald Trump was now the inevitable Republican nominee. He would square off against Hillary Clinton, the Democrat's certain standard bearer. The race was set between two major party candidates who were both under investigation by the FBI. In a stunned response, Strzok wrote what may be the only words we need to know, the words that reflected the mindset of his agency's leadership under the Obama administration. Quote, "Now the pressure really starts to finish MYE, end of quote. MYE, that's mid-year exam, was the code word the FBI had given to the Hillary Clinton email probe. Quote, it sure does, responded Page. Responded Page. Mind you, she was not just any FBI lawyer. She was counsel and confident to the Bureau's number two official, Deputy Director Andrew McCabe. If the thousands of text messages between Ms. Page and Agent Strzok are clear on anything, they are clear on the thinking of the Bureau's top brass.
Which is exactly what we said, is that we're likely to learn if when we see the IG report on the Hillary email investigation. That would be the FBI's handling of the email investigation on Hillary Clinton. That we'll likely learn a lot about the culture at the FBI, which is linked to clearly the whole Russian collusion stuff.
Right.
This is part of that, because if you're looking to manipulate influence the election with your power at the FBI, Page and Strzok, and possibly McCabe or Comey or any of them, if you're looking to do that, well, you can't manipulate it without manipulating something in the favor of Hillary, and quite the opposite when it comes to Trump.
And as he writes here, Trump had won the nomination, so now the pressure was on to remove the cloud of felony suspicion hanging over Mrs. Clinton. The mistake is often made, I've made it myself, this is Andrew McCarthy saying this, of analyzing the tanking of the Clinton emails case in a vacuum. There are, after all, reasons unrelated to Donald Trump that explain the outcome. Obama was implicated in Clinton's use of the non-secure email system. Obama had endorsed Clinton. Many high-ranking Obama Justice Department officials stood to keep their coveted positions and even advance in a Hillary Clinton administration. The Obama Justice Department was hyper-political, and Clinton was the Democrat nominee. But the Clinton investigation did not happen in a vacuum. It happened in the context of Donald Trump's gallop through the Republican primaries, and just as important, the Obama administration's determination to regard the Trump campaign as a Kremlin satellite.
Wow.
There you go. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Coming up following the top of the hour, a new poll on whether it's appropriate to call, I love the polling we have now, on whether it's appropriate to call members of the murderous gang MS-13 animals.
Okay, can we call them criminals?
You can't call them inhumane, as we have found out. Remember that. Can't call them monsters.
Can we say murderous?
Anything that dehumanizes you. You cannot dehumanize.
So they can take other lives.
Can't call them a monster.
But you can't call them names.
Right. Don't call them an ant. Now, we don't know. The left hasn't come out about Animal, who was sentenced to 40 years in prison. Animal, the MSN, the MS-13.
Yeah.
That was Freudian. I want you to know that. His name that he was given by other MS-13 members was Animal. We haven't found out whether the left is furious at those gang members for using that terminology to describe another gang member.
What about the drummer for the Muppets? Has anybody talked to him?
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.